So can you tell us first of all about yourself, your artistic background?
Yeah, no problem. My name is Jamal. I play bass guitar and All Is In Love. I've been playing bass guitar since I was 16, so that's, let's just say it's over a decade now. Mm-hmm. I've played in all kinds of bands. I started off playing jazz bands. I went through all the way through rock bands up until sort of the summertime of like 2012. And then I was in a band that only played covers from a Sega Mega Drive, games. And then I've ever since been in this band.
All right. So obviously in the band had a kind of weird evolution for the last few years. So you changed names.
Oh, of course. Yes, we did. So we had we used to go by a different name for quite a few years. I think it was around for the best part of 5 years, we were called All Is On Drugs, and at the time it seemed it got us a bit of attention. It was sort of misinterpreted, because obviously the having the word drugs in your name is gonna, you know, get you the wrong sort of attention a lot of the time. And then when we finally started getting a bit serious and we started getting bigger, getting a bit more traction, getting more fans.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense to change. It was suggested to us by our label bosses that maybe we should change it for, you know, the purposes of traveling, for exposure on radio, things like that. But we'd already thought this years before, and we outgrew the name anyway. And this was sort of a fresh start. We wanted all of this music, even though there's some of our songs we were playing back under the old name, we wanted to be a new start and everything to be fresh, new branding. We wanted to sort of revive ourselves when we came out with all this music. So,
all right, so
those are the main reasons.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure you're right. At some point, it would have been a burden in your career. So,
absolutely,
it makes sense for you to switch to something a little more positive.
Of course.
Can you tell us a little about the roots of the band, where each of you guys come from, and what's the common factor, who the spark that created the band?
Okay, yeah. So we're all based in the north of England in a small town called Castleford and Pontefract, around the same area, very small sort of remote. Rough town, and I'm not from there originally, but I moved up there, and the original members, the guitarist Dre and the singer Jason, and even the drummer Connor, they've all known each other for years. They're old school friends, you know, they grew up together, and they all played in separate bands, and they'd been in bands together, and they wanted to do, Jason and Dre wanted to start a band, and they originally had ideas for it being a Marilyn Manson style shock rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't pan out that way. The first song they wrote was Sunset Yellow, which is quite a relaxed track. It's a bit psychedelic. That was the first song that they ended up writing together. So they needed a drummer. They got their friend Connor in, who they knew, and then they had another friend who was playing bass guitar for about a year before me. I was a fan at the time, so unfortunately I got to see all of this progression. But then he dropped out. He couldn't commit to the time, so they asked me to play, and I'd come to the chance. I'd seen them play live, and they put 110% into it. Every show, you could tell that, you know, they cared. And that was really important, and it was something I wanted to, I thought I could help and be a part of. So given the chance, you know, I jumped in.
Okay. Question in two parts. First of all, yourself as a bass player, what are your references, the musician or bands? And for the band in general, what's the common reference or common roots, I would say?
For me, I'm into all sorts of music. I started off, I've got a 10 years older brother, and he got me into a lot of Britpop at the time, things like Cool the Shaker, and so he was into Oasis and Blur and Super Furry Animals, which are very, very indie Brit rock bands, and very influential at the time, Stone Roses and things like that, Black Grape, Happy Mondays. That's sort of the first things I started to get into, and then he eventually got me into some 60s psychedelia, some obscure things, weird Mexican and American psychedelia. He's a big fan of an artist called Jacques Dutronc, which he got me into as well, and from there I got into prog rock, all sorts of things, grunge, the grunge scene from the 90s, and that's sort of where my bass playing was rooted, where I wanted to progress as the people that I saw when I saw them play, I wanted to be like them. In the band, I'd say we're all into very different things across the board, but together, like commonly, we'd say like Deftones is probably one of the main bands that we would all say has influenced us, or that we like or enjoy. There's Nirvana's probably in there. There's so many things about it. System of a Down is probably one. Really, it's funny because a lot of these bands don't really sound like us.
Yeah.
But they're definitely things that inspired us and, ignited that spark to want to play.
Why did you choose bass? When you're outside the world of music, you think it's kind of bass, it's the difficult instrument to choose, because you're the one in the back. Sometimes you don't even hear the bass line if you're not careful enough. Why bass?
For me, my brother was a bass player, and every band I saw him playing, he was always, he was energetic, and he brought something more than just standing there and playing. Mm-hmm. And he was a very good bass player as well. And every sort of bass player that I've ever watched, like one of my favorite bands that I've ever saw live was Rush. Geddy Lee, you watch him, he is the band. They're all, amazing musicians, but he's such a key part. And it was sort of an instrument that when I was growing up, like not many people where I'm from, nobody seemed to play or have one. There was loads of bands, there were loads of drummers and loads of guitarists, but there were no bass players. So it made sense for me to just play. And then I got to play in almost every band once I started learning and once I got good enough to play. But for me, it's an instrument which I get to sort of have the best of both worlds. As a bass player, it's both rhythmical and it's melodic. Like you have to be able to sort of master both to get the most out of the bass.
Okay.
I can play, like having a good drummer lets me play. I love getting to play along with a great drummer, and I'm lucky enough to get to play with Connor in our band, who's fantastic.
Maybe you might be surprised, but any influence from Queen as a bass player?
Oh, from Queen?
Yeah. No?
Some, probably not too much. I like Queen, but I like it before the odd sounds and odd ways that Brian May plays a guitar. The sound that he makes of the guitar. But I actually, thinking about it, there's a lot of Queen. I would say more for stuff like Genesis and Yes.
Okay.
Those sort of bands are what I listened to, and the bass sort of surprised me because I'd never heard bass guitars sound like that.
Okay. Do you play with fingers or mediator?
I played both. Oh. I played for 6 years with fingers. In some of these, like live, I use both, depending on the song. Some songs sort of require that subtler, the sort of smoother sound, warmer sound you get by playing with your fingers. Some of the songs are heavier, so I like the attack. I use brass picks as well.
Mm.
Okay. And I like the way a brass pick hitting a string, and going through like a distortion or a drive, it gives it this sort of dirtiness, this grit. I like to use both. I like to try. I'll try any method of playing if it fits the song.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good way to do it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Obviously, one of the key elements for your songs is really the kind of like a short, direct, catchy. What's the average writing process within the band? Is one of you is coming with a riff, an idea, and then the other one built around that? So how does it work?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, yeah, it starts off with, like I say, it will start with just somebody maybe plays a riff and someone else will go, they'll bring it to the practice room, or maybe they'll play it in the practice room and we go, oh, that sounds cool, like let's have a jam, we'll jam around, let's see what we get. Other times, you know, we come with almost a full song. We have all the parts there, the structure, and it's a matter of making those parts your own. But Full Circle, that's a song that everybody had a part, sort of wrote their parts as we were going. Dre came to us with this song. He had the structure for it. He had a demo. And then we took the bits he gave us and we sort of, you know, built our blocks around it. Because I think that's the only way we end up sounding like us, is when it's got each of our personalities, each of our playing, our personality is in those songs and those parts. But then there's older songs where all of it was written and we didn't need to change anything because they just worked. They were there, you know, where they came to us. All My Love, for instance, I think there was basically nothing written of that song, hardly, except the chorus. And we just started playing it. I think within about an hour, we had the basic structure for this song. And sometimes it just comes together, you know, really quickly. Other times it takes a lot of work, and it never really works. The songs we've dropped that we will probably never see the light of the day because we don't think they work with this band.
Okay, and how do you work in particular the lyrics and vocal lines?
Well, Jason, as the singer, he writes most of the lyrics, and he does all the vocals. He'll do his harmonies. Sometimes, I think on the album actually, Connor did some harmonies with him. Live, I try and do a little bit of harmonies here and there, a bit of backing just to thicken things up for some of the songs. And I think one of the most impressive things a band can do is, you know, multiple harmonies whilst playing. It sounds so impressive. It's something that we want to incorporate for sure. But it's also very difficult. So, you know, that'll take time. But with lyrics, Jason mostly writes them. He'll write everything, and then sometimes maybe he needs a second verse. So I'll write some lyrics. I've been doing a bit more lyric writing recently. For some of the newer stuff I've been writing lyrics without any music as well. Like I say, Jason, for everything that's been done so far, I'd say he did about 80%, maybe 90% of the lyrics, and then bits where we wanted to change it up, they get proofread and we sort of change things.
Alright. Coming back 1 or 2 years ago, what can you tell us in general about the recording session for the EP?
For the EP?
Yeah, at the time, so you worked with pretty famous people, Catherine Marks and Alan Mulder.
Sorry, go on.
What was the, how could I say? If we try to synthesize this period around the EP, so the rebirth of the band, then you needed to, one way or the other, give something to the fans, and so the EP to bring back the name of the band back on the board. Is there any key element or any souvenir that, for in your mind, would synthesize this whole period? A show, a moment in studio, or.
Do you know what I think, actually? I think it was... So before we actually recorded, went into the recording studio, we had to do a pre-production day.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out we were working with Catherine Marks and Alan Mulder, but we hadn't met them yet. And obviously, you know, when you've seen those names and who they've worked with and the work they've done and the accolades they've been given, and that's quite a daunting task to go and play your songs, your proposed album, to some of the people who've worked with some of the biggest people in the industry, some of your favourite artists. So I think probably we started playing, we were all very nervous. And during this day in this little practice room in London, it was so hot. It was such a hot, sunny day. And we started playing, and we didn't know how they were sort of reacting to it. They sort of sat there, and we didn't know if they liked it. And then they started smiling and saying, you know, that was great. Like, this is amazing. And to have two people like that tell you your music's great, and that you're live, you playing them, that they were excited to work with you, I think that was it. I think that was, we thought, you know, we finally got the people to really make this something special and make it as big as we wanted it and as good as we wanted it to sound. Because we'd been playing together, you know, for 6 years looking for that, and we finally had the chance, and these people were there basically begging to do it. They wanted to make it happen for us, make that dream reality. So I think it's probably that moment.
If you remember, what was at that time your level of stress? Was it saying that's our moment, it might be it, or it's over? Is there this feeling that it's right now or dead?
It's not that stressful now, to be honest. I think the biggest stress is knowing that you've got to live up to it. I think that's making sure that you're good enough and that, you know, your live show's good enough. That's the only really stressful thing, I think. I mean, there are plenty of things that can go wrong on a tour, plenty of things that can go wrong live, but, and those are, you know, those are things that they're so practiced now, and you have so many people to help you make sure those things don't happen. There's no real reason to get too stressed. I think the most stress we get, actually saying that, is about how we're going to represent ourselves, how it's going to come out, how it's going to be received by people. And I guess you just never know. You never have an answer to that, because you always want to do better every time you put something out, right?
True.
So I don't know if that answers that
For you, but... No, it's okay. My question might be weird, but can you try to explain as simple as possible, what's the added value of such producers, top level, star producer, what's the added value for you, a young band? What did they bring to you that made the difference, or the thing you could not do by yourself?
I think probably just the ability to get exactly what they need out of you. They're so experienced and so knowledgeable. They're so experienced and so knowledgeable about their craft that they know how to get the best out of you, and they know they can see, they have as much passion for your music as you do, and showing you that. I think that's the best thing you can get out of it. They won't let you, you know, when you've done 29 takes of a song and you haven't quite got it, they don't let you get disheartened by it. They'll get you to want to do another 10. They'll want you to do 10 with them. You know, it might take hours and hours of work, but it doesn't feel, they don't make it feel arduous. They make you feel it's almost, you know, it's showing that, you know, how much care and love there is in that, their craft and what they want you to achieve.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense. Good. You provided the EP.
Yes.
And so, what is what was the reaction, or could you build based on with this product, I would say in your hands to for the next months after that to be able to, I don't know, get more shows, more attention to labels or.
We just wanted. We're always about reaching out. We want to reach as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. We believe that, you know, we believe our music's good. We think we enjoy playing it, and we want other people to, you know, have the opportunity to potentially enjoy it as much as we did making it.
Mm-hmm.
And so with any release, it's about hopefully somebody hearing something on it and it giving them a positive experience. So with the EP, we wanted people to hear and to know, you know, how we changed, how we've matured. I think this is the best music we've had recorded and we've written, so up till this point.
Yeah.
So getting that word out and just having people's reactions to having, you know, people like Catherine Marks and Alan Moore work on it and hearing the difference it makes to have somebody, people like that, working on your music. It's so exciting. And, you know, down the line, here we are a few months later, mm-hmm. and I'm in Paris talking to, you know, to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it got far enough for somebody to want to put it out outside of the UK. We've never really done anything like that before.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I'm excited. We get to play a show here in May. So then that'll be the first time we've played in France, and hopefully, you know, it's one of many.
But I can understand there's also the issue of a heavy financial investment. But why did you decide to start with an EP and not immediately with a full album?
Okay. Well, we didn't want to give everyone everything too fast, because we want to slowly build. We wanted to build a bit of traction, because basically when we put out that album, we want as many people to have the opportunity to hear it or know that it exists as possible. And with every song we put out, you know, we gain more followers, we get more people that are potentially going to hear the album. So we thought, well, we want to give something, show. We felt like the EP was a nice sort of. All four of the songs are very different. They have different stuff in them. They have a different sort of vibe, but they show that it's still us, you know, that we're still, they all sound like us. And with the album is going to be even bigger, and it's going to have all of those sounds and more. So we sort of wanted to prepare people. Because it's quite different to what we used to sound like. Some of it is, you know, is quite far removed from how we used to sound. So you just getting, is it like a snowball, making a small impact here, giving somebody something, you know, a single here, a single there, and then when it's ready, then we get to drop like the album. And it's also to gauge, you know, how people are receiving it, how people, if people even like it. Because we might have put an album out straight off the bat, and people not, you know, not many people heard it, people that did hear it didn't really like it, and then it doesn't go anywhere.
Mm.
So, it's sort of nice to just slowly cook and see where it's taking you before you put everything, your whole product out on the table.
So basically, what's the next step regarding the upcoming album?
So we've got a live album,
mm-hmm.
I believe it comes out this Friday.
Live from Leeds?
Yeah, the live in Leeds.
In Leeds, yeah.
Which is 9 tracks. And that's hopefully that's captured a bit of we're very much known as being like a live band, and our live show, people like to come and see us live, and like in the UK, we've had loads of people that will come and see us live somewhere, and then they'll travel and follow us on the other tour dates. They'll come and come and watch us play again a few times in a row.
Mm.
And a lot of people say that, you know, we're a decent live band. So having a live album, we're hoping that it catches a bit of that energy, because it's a, you know, it's a bit dirty, a bit louder, there's a bit more to it. No two live shows are going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
The solos in them, sometimes, you know, they're ad-libbed on, there's ad-libs in them, there's all sorts of, you know, different changes, and I think those little nuances are what makes the live album interesting, and you can see how they differ from perhaps the recordings of those songs that are on the EP or even the album, which is planned to come out a bit later on.
Still in 2019, or?
Yes. Well, it will be out this year.
Good.
And it should be out, I can't give an exact date, but it should be out before summer.
Alright, so just before the download?
Yes, I believe so.
So let's talk about your expectation for the upcoming British tour, British tour and especially the Download Fest.
We just come off a UK tour. Just before this, we did, I can't remember how many dates, it was something like 24 dates.
But you don't
in the UK, they were some of the best shows that we've played in the UK to date. They were well attended. People there were having a good time, and this was with our new sound, with new gear. We were working out. We haven't been on tour for a year and a half because of the recording, like going into development. And before that, we just toured non-stop. So this tour, we had to get tour fit. You know, get tour tight again, get the set flowing and everything sort of working. So that it's effortless, so that when you get on the stage, you're not even thinking about it. You're playing and just enjoying the moment. So I think for these next few shows, I'm really looking forward to returning to some of the places we were at before, where, you know, people were, we had, like, amazing, like I said, really good turnouts, and we're going back to some of the places that we sold out previously. So maybe some people didn't get a chance to come and see us, and we're doing some bigger shows for these now, so I hope there's more people can come in. And then festivals, it doesn't get really much bigger than Download.
Sure.
I mean, just going, wanting to go myself because Tool were playing is a pretty big deal. That's, I think everybody in our band's like excited to the fact that we're even on a poster with those bands, let alone we're going to get to see them and watch them perform, get to perform alongside them. We played Download actually back in 2014, and we played a absolutely packed tent. You couldn't fit any more people in it. Actually, 2015, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, you know, we're expecting it's a bigger tent. It was a bigger stage. We're going to be playing better songs. I think we sound better than we've ever sounded. It's just more professional now. You know, we've finally got to a point where we've mastered our show a bit better than we had before. So I'm just excited to go and play to some people who want to have a good time.
Yeah, sounds great. just last few questions. What in general is your view about the British rock scene?
Oh, I think it's in an excellent, excellent place. In terms of bands, I think there are so many great bands at the moment that are coming out of the scene that, you know, we started playing with back when we first started going out and touring. There's a band called Presto Mico, amazing band that they just signed to Marshall Records. Incredible, really talented three musicians, and they're doing really well. There's tons of a Scottish band, Vukovi, doing a very similar thing. They're getting a lot of attention and just consistently everything that seems to be coming out. In our hometown alone of Leeds, that you can go out on almost any evening and there'll be a show on somewhere, and the bands are all incredible. You know, there's something there. I think it's great, but part of the problem is that a lot of venues at the moment in the UK, they're struggling because it's hard to get licenses for under 18 shows. It's hard to get people into, you know, the venues to see these bands. And, you know, it's costing them money. There's a lot of noise regulation. things that are causing a lot of venues to sadly close down. And those are the venues that, you know, they give birth to those bands, to those scenes that grow up to be the next Foo Fighters, the next Queens of the Stone Age, Nirvana. You know, those, they start somewhere. And so if they have nowhere to start, then suddenly they start dying out. But other than that, I think it's in an incredible position at the moment.
Okay. And just the very last few questions, and you cannot, and you cannot answer if you don't want to, obviously. One word to sum up the current political situation in UK?
I'm not good. One word. Bad.
Okay. Okay. You were, it was a good idea to do that right now in the coming days, because in a few weeks' time, I'm not sure it would have been possible. So.
No, I know. This is fortunately for me. My dad's Algerian, so I'm planning on getting So I might be able to get an Algerian passport, which might cover it. I'm being told that I need to move on to the next interview, I believe.
Well, hopefully it will solve the positively. I'm not sure it's possible anymore, but hopefully.
I'm not sure.
We'll see. You'll see, to be honest.
Well, yeah.
thank you very much for your time. And
yeah, thank you for your time.
My best wishes for the weeks to come.
No worries, thank you. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you, take care, bye-bye.
Bye.